Assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga, all glories to Sri Prabhupada, Namo Om Vishnu Padaya, Vishnu Prasthaya, Vrtana, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane, Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Bhutani, Namaste Sanivana Bhaskatya Desatani, Mandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapadakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatham Vitam Sam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvaitam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Param Sahagana Vita Sri Vishakam Vitam Sajivam. So it's October 14, 2012 in Govardhan, and we're going to be talking about Sharanagati. Can everyone here understand English? Yes? Okay, I will try to talk slowly. If I speak too fast, please just tell me, just put up your hand and go like this. Okay, everybody agree? You promise me. So just if I talk too fast, just do this. And if I say some English word you don't understand, just ask me. Please? We have a deal here? Okay, very good. So thank you for coming, because I've heard that you've had classes and classes and more classes, and after that you had some more classes. And then when you were finished with that, you had more classes. So many of you are tired, and I appreciate that you have come. So I wanted to look at Sharanagati through Vandanam. So we know that Vandanam is one of the processes of devotional service. And there's two parts to Vandanam. Does anyone know the two parts? What are the two different aspects of Vandanam? I'm asking you. What are they? Do you know? Anybody know? No? One part of Vandanam is with the body, and one is with the speech. So we know when we talk about Sharanagati, when we talk about surrender, surrender is done with body, mind, and speech. Just like in the famous verse in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, giving the definition of pure devotional service, we have Krishnanu Shilanam. And Shilanam means activities of the body, the mind, and the speech. And then in mind, there's three subcategories. The three subcategories of mind are thinking, feeling, willing. Now, willing is very much like bodily, to will something, to do something. So we have the thoughts and the emotions and the will, the determination, the sense. You know that sense you have of determination? Yes, I will do it. And our thoughts and our feelings and our speech and our body. So that's everything. Now in this world, we don't generally want to give everything to anyone or anything. Usually in this world, when I give, I keep something back. If you work for a company, you don't give everything. You keep some part of yourself that you don't show. Some of your energy you reserve for your family, for your home, and to your family also. You don't give everything. You reserve something for yourself. Because in material life, if I give everything, I end up being the loser. I end up being depleted and finished. You know, if I give all of my money, then I have to become a street beggar. Right? So nobody wants to give everything. I mean, sometimes people give close to everything. Like people in the military, when you join the military, you are surrendering at least your body. My body may be killed, or my body may be permanently injured. Other things like when you become a parent, anyone here who has a child. So when you have a child, you really give everything to some extent, almost. You know, at least when a person gets married, they can have some idea who they are marrying. Not complete idea, that you find out later, but at least before marriage, you have some idea. With a child, you have no idea what kind of child you will get. And then you have to give, especially the mother has to give her own body and your time and your energy and your money, but still, you know, you don't really give everything. You always keep something in reserve. And when we hear that Krishna consciousness means giving everything, again we're thinking, I don't know if I really want to give everything. And we may appear to give everything. Just like the person who joins the military, they appear to give everything. Or the mother to the child appears to give everything, but not really. So also in spiritual life, we can feel, okay, I've given everything. I've left my occupation or my education. I mean, when I joined the Hare Krishna movement, we left our schooling, we left our job, we left our family, and we went to live in an ashram. So that may appear like that, but again, we hold on to something. Some kind of self-concept, actually some upadhi. Therefore, the other verse is sarvapadhi vinirmutam. We hold on to some kind of self-concept that this is going to protect me. This will give me shelter. I think, well, maybe I will save some money in the bank, that will give me shelter. Or I have so many family friends, they will give me shelter. Or I have so much knowledge, that will shelter me. Something we're thinking. Ultimately we think this body will shelter me. But the interesting thing is that full surrender to Krishna, you don't become depleted, you become full. If I give full surrender to my country, or I give full surrender to an employer, or to a wife, or to a husband, or to children, or to some mission, I will become depleted and I will become disappointed. Guaranteed. Do you have this experience? You have this experience? Only I've had this experience, or you've also had this experience. But with Krishna, it's not like that. Because Krishna's Om Purnam Adha Purnamidam Purnat Purnat Udachyate Purnasya Purnam Adaya Purnam Eva Vasishyate. He is complete. And if you take the complete away from him, he's still complete. When I give everything to Krishna, I am really connecting with the complete. And I am connecting with the complete of which I am a part. Mamai Vamso Jiva Loki Jiva Bhuta Sanatanaha. Sanatana. I am always a part of that complete. The reason we feel depleted and disappointed when we give to something that's not Krishna is that something is not complete. I may be thinking I'm part of my country, I'm part of my family, I'm part of my company, but I'm not really. But Krishna is complete. And Krishna, although he demands total surrender of the body, the words, the mind, which is the thinking, the feeling, and the willing, even our will. Although he demands it, he returns it. Just like when we offer Krishna food. So when we offer Krishna food, the food does not disappear from the plate. Rather, it's returned with deeper flavor. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu noted this. He said, we all know the ingredients of the food. So where is the flavor come? So one time I was in the kitchen. This was in our temple in Puerto Rico. They say Puerto Rico. You all know where Puerto Rico is? In the Caribbean. So it's part of America, but it's not a state. So it's in the Caribbean Ocean, east of Mexico. Little island, beautiful island, tropical island with something like the climate in Mayapur, banana trees and coconut trees. A very beautiful climate, lots of rain and waterfalls like that. So anyway, I was in Puerto Rico, and we were in the kitchen, and we were preparing for a program at a university. So there was one lady who was cooking. She was making cookies for the program. I was cooking for the deities, the main prasadam for all the devotees, and she was making the cookies. So I watched her make the cookies. They were very, very simple cookies. Any of you who know how to cook? So they were the most simple cookies you could make that would still be cookies. They were just butter, sugar, a little sodium bicarb, and flour. Maybe a little vanilla flavor, something like that. Very, very simple. No nuts, nothing. So we went to the program and I gave a little talk, and at the end we were distributing these cookies. And every single person said, what is in these cookies? Every student, every professor, and I was busy because I was preaching to the people. I hadn't eaten one of the cookies. So I was very surprised. Because I saw the cook in the kitchen, and I saw it was butter, sugar, sodium bicarb, and flour. And everyone is asking, what is the recipe? What is the recipe? So when you give to Krishna, you get back more. We may think, well, I'm not Sudama. Sudama gave a little rice, he got a palace. I've given Krishna so much rice, I never got a palace when I came back home. Or the fruit vendor, she gives the fruit and then there's jewels. But even if we don't have that kind of experience, even our simple everyday experience, is that when we give to Krishna, we get back more. Everyone's looking for this. This is the idea of investments. Right? You put your money in the bank or some stocks and some bonds, and you're supposed to get back more. Sometimes they call it securities. This is your security. And many people, they are dreaming that, you know, I will not have to work anymore. I'll just put my money in these securities and I'll keep getting back more money. Sometimes it happens, but generally... Huh? Yes, like fixed deposits. And they will keep giving more. I will spend 100 rupees and I will get back 200, 300. So materially, you know, that doesn't always work. But with Krishna, that works. When you give everything, you are not the loser. Even our willing. So we said body, words, mind. Mind is thinking, feeling, willing. What is it we are most hesitant to give to Krishna? We will give Krishna our body. We will work hard for Krishna, no problem. We'll give Krishna our speech. We'll speak about Krishna, no problem. We'll even give Krishna our thoughts. We'll think about Krishna. We are very hesitant to give Krishna our feelings. Very hesitant. And really hesitant to give Krishna our willing. Srila Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita, one should know what is his and what is not his. So what is the only thing that is really ours? Is this body ours? Does this body belong to us? How do you know? How do you know it doesn't belong to you?
It's not in our control.
It's not in our control. Can it be taken away? Can it be taken away? Will it be taken away? Definitely. Will we necessarily get a warning? Maybe not. Just like if you are renting, if you are just leasing, you don't own. So the landlord can come and say, okay, give it back. Correct? My daughter and her family used to live here in Govardhan. They used to have a house in town that they were renting. They were renting from Lal Kasetwala. And at one point, the house had a lot of problems. There were electrical fires all the time, and they had no water. And so my son-in-law, my daughter's husband, he started praying to Giriraj, please, Giriraj, give us stable electricity and water. So next day, the landlord came, and he said, you have to get out. Next day, so you have to get out. I need this place for my family. Of course, Krishna gave them a much nicer place. But anyway, it's like that. If you don't own something, the evidence is that the owner can take it away without even notice. Our body can be gone without warning. Maybe we will get a notice, maybe we will not get a notice. They got, I think, 3 days' notice. But we may not get even 3 minutes' notice. What is ours? Our mind, is our mind ours? We can lose that also. You see people, they lose their mind, they lose their ability to think. What is ours? Anybody have any idea what is ours? Yes?
Willing.
Our willing, our free will, that is ours. Prabhupada says we should know what belongs to me, what does not belong to me. What belongs to me is my free will. One other thing belongs to me. My what? What else is mine? My desire. My will, my desire. Those are mine. That belongs to me. So we see when we surrender to Krishna, those are the things that we are least likely to give. I will give body. That's easy. That's easy. Come in the temple, scrub the pots, clean the floor. At least in the West, we clean the toilets. Hare Krishna. We are not so proud in the West.
Oh, I am Brahmin, I don't clean toilets.
We foreigners, we clean toilets. So that's not so hard. Go out on the street, try to sell a book to a stranger and have them insult you. That you can do. Talk about Krishna, that you can do. Think about Krishna, Krishna, that we can do. But our desires and our will, we are so afraid. Oh, if I give my desires, if I give my emotions, if I give my will, if I surrender that, what will I have? I'll be empty. I'll be a machine. I'll be a robot. Because again, materially, if I give my will to somebody else, then I become just like a machine. Someone else just tells me what to do, and I just say, okay, I will do that. I lose my personality. And there have been so many demoniac leaders in the history of the world. who try to suck out the will and the desires of their followers and make their followers' will and desire be the same as theirs, whether it's an Idi Amin or a Hitler or whatever. So we are thinking maybe Krishna will be like that. But just like with the cookies, when you give to Krishna, he gives it back. When we give our desires and our will to Krishna, and we say, my dear Lord, here are my desires, here are my emotions. Here is my ability to will. Let your will be done, like the Christians have this prayer. My Lord, your will be done. Krishna gives it back. There's a very nice purport in the first canto about Narada Muni, where Prabhupada says that the whole basis of devotional service is freedom. It's a beautiful purport where he said the need of the soul is freedom. And he talks about in relation to Narada how he can go where he wants and do what he wants. And Prabhupada says astonishingly, he says the devotee is not dependent in all respects. Amazing. Sanatana Goswami also describes in Brihad Bhagavatamrita how the residents of the spiritual world can travel wherever they want. They're free. We have some idea of this in terms of being a good citizen. If I am a good citizen, at least in most countries of the world, I can go where I want and do what I want. I don't need someone's permission to go from Delhi to Calcutta or Vrindavan to Govardhan. I mean, in some of the old communist countries, you actually needed permission just to take a train. But in civilized countries, if you're a good citizen, you can go where you want, you can do what you want, you can have whatever occupation you want, you can marry or not marry, you can marry who you want, right? So it's exactly like that. Kalpaviksha lakshabhateshu, the world of those to whom, the world of those who have given their will and their desires to Krishna, is a world of desire trees and a world of desire dust, where anything we want, we can have. Whereas when I try to hold on to my little will and hold on to my little desires and think I'm going to keep them for myself, then I end up being under the control of? Whose control do I end up being under? Maya. And Maya says, do this, do this, do this. And I say, yes, yes, yes. So as soon as I try to hold on to my little will and hold on to my little desires, I become a slave to a lady on a tiger with a trident. Prabhupada says she's not an ordinary mother. You know, if an ordinary mother is piercing you with a trident, you're going to, bless you, send her to jail, right, for child abuse. It would be in the newspaper. Mother pierces child with trident while riding on a tiger. So this is, we become the servant of Durga Devi. But when I surrender to Krishna, I become free. So how do I surrender particularly my emotions, my desires, and my will to Krishna? So we could talk about many different ways. We could talk about the six items of surrender. I think you already had a class on that, yes? Okay. We could talk about surrender in terms of body, mind, words. But I want to look at a very easy, natural, simple, doable system by which we can work on our desires and our will. And that is Vandanam. So Vandanam has two main parts. One part is bodily and one part is speech. And you said, well, wait a minute, Emilio. I just thought you said the body and the speech is easy and the hard part is the mind part with the desire and the will. But this way of doing with the body and the speech will touch the desire and the will. They're not ordinary. So with the body, there's three main divisions. The first division we usually call dandavat, falling like a rod. And this has eight parts. So we think about dandavats, just simply you put your body down on the floor. But actually, the mantra given for dandavats, and this mantra is given in the Hari Bhakti Vilas. It's also given, interestingly enough, by Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Oh, here we go. Yes, by Bhakti Thakur in his Vajana Rahasya. A Vajana Rahasya is a very deep and esoteric work that compares the parts of the Shikshastika to the stages of bhakti. So I'm sure you're all familiar with Adushraddha, Sadhusanga, right? Bhajan Kriya. Okay, Nartan Vritti, like that. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur compares the eight verses of the Shikshastika to the progression of bhakti, and he gives different prayers and meditations for each step in that process. At the end of the Bhajana Rahasya, he gives a system of meditative deity worship. It's a very simple system of deity worship, and it focuses on meditation on the deity. It has the standard mantras and procedures for deity worship. At the end of the puja, Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes this sloka from the Hari Bhakti Vilas. And it is, I can find it. Okay, Dorbhyam Pravyam Cha Janubhyam Urasa Sirasa Jusha Manasa Vachacha Teti Pranamo Sangha Iritaha. Pranamo means pranam. Sangha means astanga is astanga. Eight. Pranamo astanga, pranamo stanga, pranamo stanga. I am offering with these eight. What are the eight? So dorbhyam is the, no, dorbhyam is arms. Pabhyam padya is the feet. Janubhyam, janu is the, you know what the janu is? Legs or the knees. Thighs. Urasa. Chest. Shirasha, head. Drisha, eyes, vision. Manasa, mind. Vachasa, the speech. Cheti. So this is all of these things being offered. When one offers dandavats, one can actually say this prayer. One can say Durbhyam Pabjan Cha Janubhyam Urasa Shirasa Drisha Manasa Vachasa Cheti Pranamostanga Irita. I am offering obeisances not just with the arms and the feet and the thighs and the chest and the head, but also with my vision, also with all aspects of the mind, which again are thinking, feeling, and willing. Therefore, although it looks like it's something just of the body, it's not. It's a giving of the deepest part of the desires and the will. So if when one offers dandavats, one offers in that mood. One offers in that mood. Then one can start to taste this really deep and meaningful surrender of the desire and the will. Then we have the five-part obeisances, right? The five parts, I can get this. That's the knees, the arms, the head, the intellect, and the words. Again, we have the intellect, the mind. when we do what in ISKCON is called just obeisances. That's also involving the intellect. It's not only the body. Even if one is just offering pranam or anjali, the anjali mudra can be like this or like this. The idea again is one's offering even one's desires and one's will. We see like when Krishna did the Vastaharan Lila of the gopis and he said to them, do the anjali mudra, right? Because they were trying to cover themselves. So that's also indicative of that kind of depth of surrender. Now, whenever one offers vandanam with the body, one is supposed to also recite some prayers. And Rupa Goswami says that these prayers must be recited out loud. They should not be recited silently. So generally, when we offer obeisances, or dandavats, or pranams, we usually say the prayers to Srila Prabhupada. But even that, if we meditate on that, what does that mean? Namo Om Vishnu Padaya. Oh, you are at the feet of Vishnu. Krishna Prasaya Bhutale. Bhutale on this earth, you are very dear to Krishna. Iti Namane. Offer again to one who's dear to Krishna. Just like when we chant the Gayatri mantras, we are meditating on, I want to meditate on my guru, Krishna Ananda, who's absorbed in Krishna Ananda, who's absorbed in the mood of Srimati Radharani. And I want to be enthused, just like my guru is enthused. So even when we're just saying basic pranam mantras, it should be with this mood of giving of my desires and will. Interestingly enough, when Krishna tells Uddhava about offering of dandavats in the 11th canto, so he gives a very, very simple prayer. And he just says, Krishna says, the simple prayer one can offer is, Prasida Bhagavan, please be merciful to me. And then upon standing up, after offering dandavats, one says, oh my Lord, please protect me who am surrendered unto you. I am most fearful of this ocean of material existence, standing as I am in the mouth of death. So one expands on this idea, I'm not just putting my body on the floor, I'm not just putting my hands together, but I'm actually offering in a symbolic and deep way what is really me. What is really me? My desires and my will. Then Rupa Goswami also explains Vandanam as just being vocal prayers. Now these vocal prayers, one has to offer vocal prayers along with bodily obeisances, but one can also offer vocal prayers alone. And Rupa Goswami gives three main categories of vocal prayers. One is an expression of feeling. Again, this idea of surrendering on the platform of desire and feeling. And what does he give as the example? He gives the example from the Padma Purana. Such a sweet prayer. Yuvatinam yata yumi yunam cha yuvato yata mano biramate kadvan mano me ramatam tvayi. Just like young boys and girls, they're naturally attracted. It's natural. I was speaking with one young girl in Mayapur. She's like 13, 14. And she said, you know, Mother, you know what I don't like about being a teenager? I said, what's that? She said, whenever I see the young man, I'm thinking, oh, what a nice boy. So this is natural. When you're, you know, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 years old, no one has to train you. You don't have to get classes. That the boys see the young girls and think, oh, what a nice young girl. The girls are seeing the young boys, oh, what a nice young boy. And they want to, naturally, they want to talk to them. They want to impress them. So this is the prayer Rupa Goswami gives as the example of a prayer of feeling. My Lord, I want to be attracted to you like that. I want to see the deity and think, oh, look at Krishna. I remember once in Vrindavan, I was standing by the altar. One of my friends was there, and I said, look how handsome Krishna is. And she said, are we allowed to think Krishna is handsome? I said, who do you want to think is handsome? A movie star. So this is the prayer, the move. Krishna, I want to have my feelings, my desires attracted to you. Not just philosophical idea. Oh, we have very nice philosophy. Our philosophy is so wonderful. We are not this body. God is the person. There's a spiritual world. And there's five rasas in the spiritual world. And there's reincarnation. And there's karma. And there's a process of chanting. Such a nice philosophy. We want to be attracted to Krishna. Rupa Goswami explains that bhakti is sudurlabha. It's very rare. Because even if you do all the rituals, you may not attain pure devotional service. Why? Because only bhakti with attachment will attract Krishna. We are also like that. If somebody comes and cleans my floor and does this and that, but they don't like me, I'm not going to be interested. I'm interested in people who actually like me. So Krishna is also like that. He's a person, just like any of us. So this is the first category of prayer in Vandana. Krishna, I want to like you. Krishna, I want to be attracted to you. And I want it to be natural. I don't want it to be, okay, it says here in the scripture that Krishna is very attractive. Okay, let me try to be attracted to Krishna. Naturally. And of course, if I'm attracted to Krishna, then I naturally will not be attracted to anything in this world. Naturally. If you have wonderful prasadam, why would you eat meat? It's so easy to get people to become vegetarians when we give them prasadam. Right? And just like the monkeys, they're scrambling in the dirt for some little something to eat. But if you give them a nice banana, why will they scramble in the dirt? Even the monkeys understand what is a higher taste. But we may understand intellectually that this material world is full of suffering. We may understand that. But we may still find ourselves attracted to the material world. Oh, yes, I like Krishna, but maybe if I had some money and a nice family and a nice house and some prestige. How are we going to get rid of that attraction in our hearts? And my dear friends, we will not get rid of that attraction by repression. That is not possible. Or just by intellectual conviction. That is not possible. You cannot just suppress attraction and desire. It will come back. Or you will become angry and hard-hearted. The way to become detached from Maya is to become attached to Krishna with one's desires and with one's will. So this is the first kind of vandana. Krishna, I want my desires, my heart, my will to flow to you naturally. And Krishna is so nice. If I have Krishna, all other kinds of material sense gratification, I'll just go, pugh. Who needs that? Naturally. Not out of aversion, not out of repression, but naturally. If I have a nice house to live in, why would I want to live in the sewer? I went to Lloyd Bazaar the other day. There was some pig sleeping in the sewer very peacefully. Just its little nostrils above the water, you know, just sleeping. So I'm able to be detached. I'm not attracted. I have no attraction to sleeping in the sewer. If the pig comes to me and says, Ormila, would you like to come sleep in the sewer? I'm not interested because I have a nicer place to sleep. So we become detached from Maya by becoming attached to Krishna. Actually attached, not just in theory, not just with the intellect, not just as an idea, but to Krishna the person. So this is the first kind of vandanam. Krishna, I want to become attached to you. The second type of vandanam is that of humility. And the example Rupa Goswami gives, now interestingly enough, again, both of these prayers are again quoted by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Vajana Rahasya as part of his process of deity worship. He actually recommends that one says these prayers every day as part of his puja. So this is mat samo nasti papatma naparadi chakaschana parihare pilajame kimbube purushottam. O Purushottama, there's no one as sinful and offensive as I am. How can I describe myself? I even feel ashamed to give up my sins. So we may read these kind of prayers and think, how can I pray this prayer honestly? No one is more sinful than I am. Well, if I think about what I normally describe as sins, stealing, killing, raping, you know, maybe I've never stolen or killed or raped anybody. And so many people in this world, they're doing these things. There's some people, they've killed, you know, a dozen people, raped and tortured and killed and stolen. How can I say there's nobody more sinful and offensive than me? I look around and I see so many people are more sinful than I am. I'm a good person, you know. I've done a few bad things in my life, right? Have we, anybody here never done anything wrong in their life? Okay. So we've done something. But nobody is more sinful than me? How are they praying these prayers? What are they thinking? Have you ever wondered this? Who has ever wondered this? What are these prayers? So actually, if we understand who is Krishna, he is complete, he is the best friend, suridam sarvadehinam, surid, not just an ordinary friend. You know, I have a lot of Haribo friends. Oh, Haribo. And I'm thinking, what's her name? What's her name? So I have many friends like that. And then I have other friends that I remember something, I know something, I care something. But how many deep friends do we have? How many friends do we have? They know us, actually know us. They know what's bad about us and they still like us. They know what's good about us, but they don't think we're some sort of a saint. They see us honestly and they like us and they want to be with us. Just for us, not to get something from us. How many friends do each of us have like that? Not so many, right? One, two. Anybody here have 20 friends like that? So Krishna is that kind of friend. And you take whatever friend you have like that, you multiply it by 10 million. Because even our best friend, can they really know us completely? No. Even our very best friend, do they know everything about us? No. Krishna knows everything. He knows the dirtiest dirt, and he knows the sweetest sweet. He knows the nicest, most wonderful things we've thought and done, and he knows the nastiest, most horrible things we've thought and done. In every lifetime. And he stays in our heart. Sarvashichaham Hridi Sannivishto. And he loves us, and he gives us everything. He gives us the sun and the moon and the vegetables. Now this world is compared to a prison. So in a prison, do they give people nice food? Do they give people nice food in a prison?
No.
So Krishna didn't have to give us many kinds of grains. He gives us more than one. He gives us wheat and rice and oats and barley. And there's different kinds of wheat. There's winter wheat and there's summer wheat. And there's basmati rice and there's jasmine rice. And there's short rice and there's sticky rice. And he didn't just give us one kind of vegetable. So many vegetables. There's carrots and there's potatoes and there's beetroots and there's broccoli and there's cauliflower and there's pumpkin. And there's different kinds of pumpkin and different kinds of carrots and different kinds of potatoes and different kinds of carrots. And he didn't just give us one kind of fruit. Many years ago I went to Trinidad. Anybody know where Trinidad is? That's also an island in the Caribbean, right next to South America. So when I came there, the devotee picked me up at the airport. She said, "Urmila, we have a very special gift for you." "Oh, what is that?" And it's all wrapped up. It was an apple. Now, for someone like me coming from North America, apples are everywhere. She said, "You know, here is very special, $2 for this apple." That's like 100 rupees for one apple. I said, "Oh, I've come to Trinidad. I didn't want apples. I wanted mangoes." She said, "Mangoes? Oh, they are rotting on the street." And I didn't know. Before I went to Trinidad, I didn't know there were 40 kinds of mangoes. And she didn't know there were 40 kinds of apples. So many different kinds of fruit, apples, mangoes, and 40 kinds of apples, and 40 kinds of mangoes, and 40 kinds of bananas. Do we need that? Do we need that? No, it's more than what we need. Or in a prison, do they give the prisoners flowers? You ever heard? In a prison they give flowers? No. You imagine every prison cell, there are flowers? So why is Krishna made flowers? Do we need flowers? The plants could be pollinated without flowers. Why did he give us flowers? Beautiful. The fragrance and the color and the design and so many different kinds of flowers. And kinds of kinds. Kinds of lotuses. Kinds of roses. Kinds of plumerias. Kinds of marigolds. So he is Surit. We are the criminals. And we have 100 kinds of marigolds and 100 kinds of roses and 100 kinds of plumerias and thousands of kinds of flowers. He's giving us more than what we need, and we are the criminals. What kind of a friend is this? And what have we done to this friend? Bahir Mukhe, we've turned away. "No, I don't like you. I'm going to be the enjoyer. I'm going to enjoy material energy. I'm going to enjoy opulence. I'm going to be the lord of Shri, of beauty and wealth and strength and fame and knowledge and renounce. I am going to be the lord instead of you." Therefore, no one is as sinful as a conditioned soul. That is the ultimate sin. We may not go around, you know, murdering and raping and burning and stealing, but that we turned our back on our best friend, that is the ultimate offense. And when the devotee actually sees that, and my dear friends, none of us want to see that. But when we actually see that, when we look and see, here's the perfect person who has no faults, who has always given me everything, who gives everything to everyone. Do I give things to people who hate me? No. I don't even talk to people who hate me. Krishna's given me everything. And yet still I'm rebellious. Therefore, I am the greatest offender. Now, why is this prayer important for Sharanagati? Because unless we see ourselves honestly, we cannot really give. If I don't see that right now I'm really giving nothing, then I cannot give everything. If I give a little and I think, oh, I'm giving so much, how can I look in the deepest places to give the desires and the will? So I have to see I'm giving nothing. I'm actually a great offender. I'm holding on to the only thing I really have to give out of nothing other than idiocy. So who is a greater fool than I? And only when I see that can I really give. So the first prayer is I'm asking for that attraction. I'm asking for that natural attraction. The second prayer is I look in the mirror. I look at myself and say, my Lord, I'm the worst. I'm so fallen, I can't even actually see how fallen I am. I see myself dishonestly. Let me see myself honestly, so I will really be able to give what's mine. And then the final category of prayer, a vandanam, a vocal prayer that Rupa Goswami gives, is that of the elevated soul, who then can say to Krishna, my dear Krishna, I'd like to fan you. Please show me how to do it. I'd like to put your ankle bells on your feet. Please show me how to do it. To ask for a specific service. Of course, even the beginning devotee can ask for some service, but this final prayer is asking for one's eternal service. So this is a very simple process, this process of offering dandavat, five-part obeisances, pranam, anjali, of offering prayers, of a desire for attraction, of honestly seeing oneself and asking for service. They may seem like some kind of ritual. They may seem like something external, but they're not. I was speaking this morning with one German woman who's visiting Vrindavan for the first time and trying to learn something about Krishna consciousness. And she was very critical of the rituals. Oh, everyone is just pushing forward to get the ghee lamp and offer their respects to the light and pushing to see the deity. I said, oh, you think it's like people pushing to buy the new iPhone? She says, yes, it looks exactly like that. I said, maybe, but under there is something empty, and under here is something real. So we have at our disposal, in our process of Krishna consciousness, a very simple way to get to the core of the process through these two aspects of vandanam. And when we do that, what does Krishna promise? Aham tvam sarva papevyo mokshayishyami nasuja. All of our miseries are caused by our sins. Sins means things we do out of rebellion to Krishna. He says, that will be gone. And you will have masujaha. You will have no anxieties. You will have peace. When we try to hold on to these little desires and will, we are full of anxieties. And when we give them to Krishna, we have peace. Why? Because he gives them back, tastier. He gives us back our desires and gives us back our will in a way that we actually have full freedom. And then we have nothing to fear anymore. So this Sharanagati is at the root of our Krishna conscious practice. Everything we do is meant to invoke that Sharanagati. And when we finally do that, whether it's right now, or whether it's 5 minutes from now, or whether it's next week, We will find everything that we are seeking. Finally, I should say, it's not black and white. It's not that either I'm not at all surrendered or I'm fully surrendered. There are degrees of surrender. And one way that I gain the faith to give my desires and will to Krishna is give him a little bit and see what happens. Try and experiment now, not later today when you go to bed, or tomorrow, or next week, or next year, or when I get back to my temple. Right now, here, in this room, in this spot, at this moment, because we only have now. We never have anything other than now. And in the spiritual world, it's always now. The concept of past, present, and future is the beginning of illusion. Right now, what part of my will and my desire will I give to Krishna? How will I connect my will and desire to Krishna now? And as we do that and we find how wonderful it is, at some point we will say, okay, take everything. So again, I want to thank you. Even this one Prabhu who is having difficulty staying out of the realm of Nidra. I want to thank all of you for coming after your classes and classes and classes and work classes and classes on top of classes on top of classes, inside classes, over classes, around classes, under classes. And you just had a big meal and it's the end of the day and still so many of you came. So I want to really express my appreciation. Do you have questions also? Oh, organizer with the microphone. Do we have questions also? Yes? No? Yes? Okay. Questions, discussions, additions, subtractions, chastisements, corrections? Did I speak slowly enough for everybody? It was okay? It was good? My usual speaking is very fast like this.
So my question is that there are many living entities in this universe. So how does Lord Krishna and Golok Vrindavan respect to each and every devotee?
Oh, you have to ask him that. that we can just be appreciative. You know? We can just be appreciative. Just like in this room. So how many people are here? Maybe 30. So I cannot look at each of you at the same time. If I am looking at you, then I am not looking at you. I can take turns. First I'm looking at you, then you, then you. But all at once I cannot. So I used to run a school. And just to make sure that everyone is doing their assignment. It's very difficult. And sometimes you miss something. Some student doesn't turn in their paper. Some student doesn't turn in their assignment. And you don't notice. But Krishna is not like that. So he's sitting in the middle of the cowherd boys. And every cowherd boy is thinking, Krishna is only looking at me. And not just like turning his head.
केवल ऐसा नहीं कि कृष्ण भगवान सिर मोड़ना होता है
whole body just facing
पूरा पूरा शरीर हर बालक की ओर है एक सामने
and behind him also
और सभी को ऐसा लग रहा है कृष्ण बस मेरे तरफ पूरी तरह से मुड़कर बैठे
one temple I used to give classes in
एक मंदिर में प्रवचन देती थी
they would have people sit behind the asana
वहां पर ऐसे वक्त भी वैसे के पीछे बैठते थे
So if I wanted to look at them during the class,
अब मैं क्लास के समय में मुझे किधर देखना मुझे पीछे मुड़कर देखना
पर कृष्ण can look at everyone at one time.
तो कृष्ण एक ही समय में सभी दिशाओं में देख सकते हैं सभी के
And Sanatana Goswami says that every coward boy is thinking, I am Krishna's favorite.
और हर बालक वहाँ पर सनातन गोस्वामी कह रहे हैं कि वो सोच रहा था कि मैं कृष्ण का सबसे प्रिय मित्र हूँ
And Sanatana Goswami says, it's actually true.
सनातन गोस्वामी कहते हैं वो बालक सोच रहा है वह सत्य है
Each coward boy is Krishna's favorite.
क्योंकि हर जो गोपाल बाल मित्र है वहाँ कृष्ण का अत्यंत प्रिय है
And each gopi is thinking, oh, Krishna is only dancing with me.
समस्त गोपियाँ भी ये विचार करते हैं कृष्ण के मेरे साथ नृत्य कर रहे हैं
So Krishna is not an ordinary friend.
कृष्ण कोई साधारण मित्र नहीं है
For me, this is impossible.
तो हमारी दृष्टि से हमारी सोच के अनुसार यह लगभग असंभव है
I can hardly pay attention to two people at one time.
मैं अधिक से अधिक एक ही समय में दो व्यक्तियों पर ध्यान केंद्रित कर सकता हूँ
Two different people talking at me, I become
दो व्यक्ति एक साथ मुझसे बात करना शुरू करें तो शायद मैं दोनों से एक ही बात ना समझूं
So we think, how can Krishna do this?
हम विचार कर सकते हैं कृष्ण ऐसा क्यों कैसे कर सकते हैं
So when we hear these things, we should say, oh, I want to meet that person.
हम जब ऐसे सुनते हैं कृष्ण के बारे में तो मन में दृढ़ इच्छा होती है कि मुझे ऐसे व्यक्ति से मिलना है
You know, actually, Krishna is very. Oh,
that's not working.
This is not working.
What? Okay, we'll just connect.
That's not working. Okay.
Another.
Okay. Actually, Krishna is very responsive.
Krishna, what's a kriya?
Some other question.
Hare Krishna. You put a desires like then when you're putting one's desire towards the Purana desire then the last concept of prayer was fascinating how we can request the service to Krishna
yes
is that
can someone translate his question also
so he's talking about desire
this Mataji Ichha ke Vishnu mein keh rahe the
The last punch you put up is
that
we can desire, we can request Krishna for service in the sun.
और जो तीन प्रकार की वाणी के मंत्रा के विषय में बदला है उसमें अंत में मात्र कह रहे थे कि कृष्ण से प्रार्थना करने के कृष्ण हमको एक विशिष्ट प्रकार की आध्यात्मिक सेवा प्रदान करें
Can you enlighten us how much of our independence is in that or is that something which is designated or is that a joint contract?
क्या आप थोड़ा प्रकाश डालेंगे कि ये जो विशिष्ट आध्यात्मिक सेवा है वो कभी कॉन्ट्रैक्ट में रहती है हमारी चॉइस रहती है हम सेवा तो जीते हैं
Desire, so it seems like you're desiring for Krishna. But is that something he reveals in the heart? Could you expand upon?
Thoradi Prakashana.
So in the Krishna book, in the chapters on Ras Lila,
Krishna book mein Ras Lila adhyayan.
Prabhupada says the whole world is full of Krishna's singing.
Krishna's
singing.
संपूर्ण जगत जो है कृष्ण के गान से पूर्ण
yes and also Prabhupada says the whole world is full of Krishna's dancing
और पूरा जगत जो है कृष्ण के नृत्य से भरा हुआ है
some living entities are dancing independently
कुछ जीव जो है कृष्ण स्वतंत्र रूप से नृत्य कर रहे हैं
and some are dancing with Krishna
और कुछ कृष्ण के साथ नृत्य कर रहे हैं
so a dance is going back and forth
इस संसार में सभी नाच रहे हैं
If two people are dancing with each other,
दो व्यक्ति अगर नाच रहे हैं, दो व्यक्ति नाच रहे हैं,
then they're each putting forth their desire, but it's in harmony with the other.
ये दो मिलकर नाच रहे हैं तो अपनी इच्छा के अनुसार नाच रहे हैं परंतु उनमें सामंजस्य भी है।
Have you ever seen, because my daughter teaches Bharat Natyam dance, so have you ever seen a drummer and the dancer working together?
मेरी पुत्री इस भरतनाट्यम सिखाती है। आपने कभी देखा है ये नृत्य करने वाला जो वाद्य बजाने वाला? दोनों में बहुत अच्छा तालमेल होता है।
So the drummer does a beat.
ऐसा नहीं कि जो बजाने वाला बहुत तेजी से बजाए।
And then the dancer copies the beat.
तो वह जो जो ताल वाद्य बजाता है उसके अनुसार नृत्य करता है।
Then sometimes the dancer initiates.
कभी कभी नर्तक ताल के अनुसार नृत्य करता है।
And then the drummer copies.
और फिर ठीक उसी अनुसार वहाँ वाद्य करता है बजाता है।
And it's very beautiful.
तो उससे बहुत मधुर और सुंदर हो जाता है।
Another example is when Krishna is dancing on Kaliya. So it's explained by the Acharyas that when Krishna starts dancing, first the music is only in his mind. Sometimes you see people like that.
Right,
they're just dancing, but the music is in their mind. And then the devas, they're saying, oh, Krishna is dancing. So they desired to make music that matched Krishna's dance.
तो उन्होंने ये इच्छा प्रकट की कि हम ऐसे संगीत को बजाएं जो कृष्ण की नृत्य के साथ
कृष्ण was they were going back and forth.
तो फिर वो जो बजाने लगे कृष्ण के साथ.
Of course, sometimes Krishna danced in such a way the demigods could not make the proper music.
और कभी कभी कृष्ण इस तरह से एकदम जोर से नृत्य करते थे कि वो देवता का वाद्य बजाने का
And it explains also the Gandharvas, the Apsaras, they were dancing. And Krishna was sometimes doing slow dancing, sometimes medium dancing, sometimes fast dancing. And the Gandharvas and the Apsaras, they were trying to match the steps. But they couldn't. So they did complementary dancing. Is that right? Like that. So this going back and forth of the Lord's desire and the Jiva's desire is a dance.
Does that
answer your question?
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Yes?
Thank you very much for your nice class. I read some of your notes on Krishna Conscious Schooling. So, I want to just hear from you. What is the basic thing to raise Krishna Conscious children? I want to just hear from you, what is the best thing to raise Krishna conscious children?
The best thing to raise Krishna conscious children? That's a different seminar.
Mataji seminar, which Mataji professor in our Krishna conscious schooling ke upar isko desire raise ke upar hai. Schooling ke upar children ke liye kaise padhaya jaye?
I'll tell you four things. But really, it needs to be a whole discussion. Tell your children a lot of stories about
Krishna.
And not materialistic stories. Make sure that there's positive emotional experiences connected with Krishna conscious practice. Make sure that there are. Make sure there are positive emotional experiences connected with Krishna conscious practices. When you're doing Krishna conscious activities, make sure the atmosphere is emotionally positive. Be your child's friend. Not just their authority. And give them practical service to do in the Hare Krishna movement. Where they can be treated like an adult. Definitely by the age of 14. As young as possible. I recently asked one devotee, I said, do you have some service in your department for a 14-year-old boy? He said, no, we don't let young children in here.
Pardon?
He said, we don't allow young children.
So
a 14-year-old is not a young child. So this is very, very important. Okay, but that's another 2-hour seminar. You can find it on ISKCON Desire Tree, I'm sure it's
there.
It's probably entitled something like Bringing the Culture of Krishna Consciousness to Our Children. And I'm sure it's there more than one time. I'm sure there's many copies of it in different... I've given the seminar many times. Anything else?
As you were talking about surrender, Vandana, relation,
yeah.
So we have different prayers, like prayers of Kundu Maharani and Bhishma, prayers of Bhishma. So do the recitation of these prayers also bring about a health of Sharanagati?
Yes.
And also one question.
You want to translate the question? Can you translate your own question? My answer is not.
One more question, Maharaji. We read in Shastras that as we hear from so many seniors, Krishna is the best friend, and he is your little shelter, and he provides everything. He's the cause of all causes. But instead of hearing so much and chanting everything, the realization is very difficult. So realize that he's your real friend.
Can you translate your own question? Let her translate her, it's easier so she translates. Yeah, do it.
Thank you.
do you know why it's so hard? Do we have a translator? Did I lose my translator? Do you know why it's so hard? Because we've offended him.
Because we
have offended him. Just like if you owe somebody money. There's somebody you owe money to. If there's someone you owe a lot of money to, do you want to see them?
तो आप उसको देखना मिलना नहीं चाहेंगे जिसको आपको पैसे देना होता है जिससे कर्जा लिया है तो उसका चेहरा आप देखना नहीं चाहते
Are you getting this or not?
Yes.
Yes?
There are different moments that I'm getting this. Okay.
Everybody understand?
Absolutely.
That is our position with Krishna. If you owe somebody something, it's hard to meditate on their good qualities.
On his good qualities?
Yes.
किसी का धन ले लेते हैं तो फिर उसके अच्छे गुणों का चिंतन करना मुश्किल है
So what is the solution?
To get a samadhan.
Humility.
हमें दैनिक भाव को जागृत करना चाहिए.
Also, get association with people who do see Krishna as their good friend.
विशेष से ऐसे भक्तों की संगति में जो जिन्हें कृष्ण की अनुभूति है.
And try meditating on it a little bit.
और फिर उनके संगति में समय भी अनुभव करना.
And see how happy you become. But we can only restore the relationship with humility. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.